Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Keyser here with you. Hope you're having a great start to your Monday. We'll talk to Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360, coming up in just a little bit. He will be on Radio Row, and also Stillman & Company will be live on Radio Row, brought to you by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue in the Richland Creek Shopping Center. Pay no money down and no interest for 1 year right now during their tax refund sale. That all starts today at 2 o'clock with Stillman & Company. But right now, the Titans continue their search for the offensive coordinator. And I kind of feel like that, and I'm curious of your thoughts. We've talked about this, Michelle. I feel like that the OC is going to be coaching on Sunday. That's kind of how I feel. I am to that point that I think Tim Kelly is a part of the plans, and Tim Kelly might be the last resort. But the guy that Mike Vrabel wants is coaching on Sunday. Now, last week, Tim Hasselbeck gave his, and he's done this a couple of times now, he gave his thoughts on who he thought the Titans OC would be. This was from last week.
Since what is my feel? My feel is that it's Matt Nagy, that it's decided. We'll go through some of these, exercises along the way here. But ultimately, I think he's the offensive coordinator.
Okay, so he thinks it's Matt Nagy. I listen to Tim a lot, and Tim, you know, it's well known. Tim and I are best friends, so that that certainly factors into things. But I believe that he might be onto something, and because I for a while I thought, all right, you want somebody in place by the Senior Bowl, that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's clearly going to be after the Super Bowl. You obviously want to get something in place before the draft, but you'll have more than enough time to do that combine as well. And if it was going to be Tim Kelly, he would have done it already. But there's clearly something else that he wants. Now, you said last week your called shot was Eric Bieniemy would be the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals and Matt Nagy would be the offensive coordinator for the Titans. I think you're going to be half right.
Yeah, so I think what you just laid out there, Chase, you know, the Tim Kelly thing, I think if he was the guy, he would have just already been named. It would have been a very quick process that he knew he was going to be the next man up. But it's clear that they have casted a wide net. I mean, Vrabel, Jim Wyatt interviewed him at the Senior Bowl. It's clear that they casted a wide net. He's looked around at, you know, different offenses and who he wants. And I remember at his, it was the locker room cleanout day when he had his final press conference, you know, I think it was there, or maybe it was there, one of his last press conferences or something, but I guess it wouldn't have been that. But, it was when, I'm sorry about that. It was when Rand Carthon got introduced. It was after Todd Downing left, and he said something along the lines of, you know, the first time I was hiring an offensive coordinator, I had never done it before.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a young head coach. It was his first time. He had to hire somebody, you know, underneath him. And he's like, I have a better idea of what I want now, what I'm looking for. I've done the process before. He's seen it. He's been in the league, you know, a couple of years longer now. And when Jim Wyatt interviewed him at the Senior Bowl and asked about how, you know, the coaching search had been going, he said, it's going good. I feel good about where we're at and having a plan for multiple scenarios. Been enjoying meeting with a lot of different coaches, hearing ideas, visions to figure out what's going to happen with us. When the time is right and when the opportunity is there. So I think the multiple scenarios situation is interesting because, you know, Hasselbeck is saying, you know, it's going to be Matt Nagy. We're waiting until the Super Bowl to happen. Is it going to be Matt Nagy? Yeah, maybe that's Vrabel's guy, but does he want to come here? I think that's my biggest question. Okay, it seems all arrows are pointing towards Matt Nagy is the number one candidate. That's who they want. But does he want to coach here? Because remember the reports we heard that they reached out to Nagy and Bieniemy to come for interviews here, but they hadn't heard anything back, and I think that's still – but everybody's latched on to it's Matt Nagy. Okay. If Vrabel wants that to be his guy, okay, cool. He's the number one. But in here, you know, just reading the Vrabelisms, I have a plan for multiple scenarios. So that makes me think there's still other offensive coordinator jobs open. I'm sure Matt Nagy, Eric Bieniemy are going to be up for those as well around the league. So, okay, does he have, okay, Matt Nagy one, whoever two, and maybe it's Tim Kelly going to be your fallback guy in case one of those don't hit.
That's kind of what I think. And I wouldn't rule Bieniemy out either. Because I think Bieniemy's gonna have to go be an OC somewhere else where he can call plays before he gets a head coaching job.
Nathaniel Hackett ruined that for people.
Yeah, I think he may have to do that. But I think that it has simply been and this is very on brand for Andy Reid, that maybe they reached out and maybe we don't know that, you know, it's like, hey, Vrabes would love to talk. Let me get through the playoffs.
Yeah, and if that's
your guy, if that's who you really, really want, then you're willing to wait.
Yeah, because
you know you have plan B.
And hopefully C, D, E, and F.
Yeah, but I mean, plan B is, hey, Tim, we love you. You want to be OC? Even though he knows that you've been talking to other people.
Yeah, and he obviously is, you know, staying with this team, right? He's waiting too. I think something interesting is we haven't heard anything about him having interviews for an OC job anywhere else.
Yeah. Well, and
he's been an OC. He was successful at Houston.
Yeah, but I think people look at the Titans offense last year and he had that passing game coordinator title that maybe it's a little like, ooh, okay.
I think that kind of hurts him.
Yeah. And so I kind of think that's in that maybe one reason why Vrabel's wanting to look more outside, you know, and get somebody that he hasn't worked with that's going to have some new ideas. I respect the heck out of that if that's what he's doing. And I think Nagy would be interesting. Now, Chad Withrow, Outkick 360, was on with Jared Stillman on Friday at 5 o'clock where he usually is, and he gave his thoughts. Heard a little bit of it in the update, but here's the full version of his thoughts on Matt Nagy being the Titans OC.
I like it. And here's why. I think when you have an ex-head coach, here's what I don't like in the NFL. I don't like the retread mantra of bringing in a head coach just because he's had a head coach experience. I do like it when it comes to coordinators. I do think that it works out more times than not. If I'm playing the percentages here, I think former head coaches that become coordinators again, they typically have a lot of success. Nathaniel Hackett. I think Nathaniel Hackett was a joke as a head coach in Denver. I could have told you after game number one, some of the decisions he made, he was going to get fired. In fact, I did say that, and he got fired. I also think he could probably work out okay with the Jets as an offensive coordinator. So I do think that head coaching experience can really serve you well when you go back to being a coordinator. So I don't mind that move at all for Mike Vrabel to bring in a guy with that experience.
I 100% agree. And I've also said now, you know, I think Matt Nagy obviously had some missteps and growing pains as a head coach in Chicago, but I don't put all of that on him. I think the GM, Ryan Pace, was not very good at his job. And so I think that had a lot to do with the failure that they had there. Matt Nagy, you know, Mitch Trubisky was not his guy. And so I think that obviously factored
Matt
in.
Matt Nagy wanted Patrick Mahomes.
He wanted Mahomes. So I think that is something you obviously have to factor into all of this. So I would like it. I would be on board with it. You know, I know that I heard Corey Curtis this morning saying that, look, Andy Reid's going to cover up a lot of stuff, you know, or mask a lot is probably the better way to put it. Because Andy Reid is such a great coach that, you know, when you get those coordinators that have been under great head coaches and they're not calling plays and all that.
But they're learning from him.
But they're learning, yeah. And some are good and some are not. I feel like Matt Nagy is an offensive coordinator. You're not bringing him in to be the head coach. You're bringing him in to be the OC. I would feel good about that. And so I hope that that's what ends up happening.
Well, and Andy Reid obviously saw, you know, how Chicago turned out for him and chose to bring him back for a reason.
Bingo.
Andy Reid's not going to have a guy on the staff who doesn't believe is going to help the team, you know, get better. And Matt Nagy was working with Patrick Mahomes specifically. Also, another guy to mention really quickly, Falcons QB coach Charles London also interviewed for the OC job. So yeah. We don't know anything about that. Could he be a guy that, you know, they're kind of waiting in the wings too to get these interviews done with Nagy and Eric Bieniemy? So that's another name to listen out for there.
Coming up next, we'll continue this discussion on the offensive coordinator. What do you think about Matt Nagy? Do you like somebody else? 615-737-1025. That is our phone and text line driven by Wilson County Hyundai. com. Hey, it's Love Week on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. It's brought to you by A Moment's Peace Day Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs. Tune in to Robbie and Rex Road tomorrow morning between 6 and 9 for details on how you could win a $100 gift card to A Moment's Peace Day Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs and qualify for a chance to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamond gift card. I like the question today when you knew that he or she was the one.
How did you know they were the one? We got a lot of funny answers and a lot of heartfelt answers.
I don't have an answer to that.
Neither of us are married, so I wanted Robbie and Joe to say theirs. So
did they?
No, they didn't.
We need to get that answer for sure. And we need your answer too, Michelle. Anyway, more coming up next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Yeah, I think Tim Kelly would probably be considered the front runner because the familiarity standpoint. Justin Outen is a guy that they also requested to interview. This was back when he was technically still the Broncos offensive coordinator with Sean Payton coming in there. Who knows what happened, but that's something. And now with him not having an OC job, hey, he could be someone to come in and coach the offensive line.
Yeah.
So you have that, and there are ties there dating back to Houston, and also he coached the offense, or tight ends rather, under LaFleur, Coach LaFleur in Green Bay. But as far as a favorite is concerned, I think it's probably Tim Kelly, who I think would fit the best. That's a tough one because you want to say Matt Nagy just because you saw the success that he had, and that will allow Vrabel to be able to just kind of have Nagy oversee the offense and he just come in and sprinkle in his flavor from time to time, kind of like what he did with Arthur Smith. So I think that would be a good fit. But ideally, and this is one that Jarrett had brought up, and I like the scenario where you bring in Charles London to be the pass game coordinator and kind of like an assistant quarterback coach. And then you have Tim Kelly take over the offensive coordinator job.
That was Teron Davenport Friday with Michelle and Junie on this show. Welcome back in, Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezevic, Nick Kieser with you discussing the Titans offensive coordinator position and who it might be. I'm officially locking in. I'm with my man Tim Hasselbeck.
Lock it in.
It's going to be Matt Nagy.
I agree.
I am locking that in.
See, okay, part of me, that was my called shot. You know, we talked about it last week. I think that is who Vrabel wants. That is who this organization wants. But then another part of me is like, is Matt Nagy cool with just staying? Like, does he want an offensive coordinator job?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would think so. But look, if Bieniemy were to leave, then he could become the OC again with Kansas City. So, I mean, you know, they're certainly some factors there. I kind of look at this all also could be the situation. And look, I think we've all done this before, but you know, like if you have an event or something to go to and it's like, all right, I know who I want to take. Like, okay, I'll use prom. I know who I want to take. But
Taylor Swift.
maybe they say no, or maybe like somebody beat you to it and they already have a date. Well, then you want to have a date. So you kind of go down the list and it's like, oh, thanks so much for asking me. And in your head, you're like, yeah, you're like choice number three, but you know, whatever.
It's like when you're in the lunch line and you really want the French fries, but they're out of the French fries. So you can either have, you know, the fruit cup or the not so good tater tots.
Oh, the tater tots were bad.
Yeah. So you got your first choice and you're going to do everything to get your first choice. But if they're not available, it's like, okay, let me think who else, who would still help, you know, this offense next year.
Yeah.
Not my number one choice, but my like close. And that's why I think, you know, having Nagy and Bieniemy both in the conversation, right? They're both coming from Andy Reid's offense. They both have similar styles, you know,
right,
working over there. So it makes me think, okay, the reason I say Matt Nagy one is because I think Eric Bieniemy will either stay with Kansas City or maybe get a head coaching job, or like you said, there's a lot of other jobs. Maybe he'll get somewhere where he can call plays, and that'll be a step up for him. But I also think it'll be a very short period of time because it's no shock that he's going to be a very viable candidate for a head coaching job. He has been before. So is it, you know, he comes to Tennessee for 1 year, calls plays, and then a head coaching position opens up and he's already gone? That's why I think maybe Vrabel would look at a Nagy more of, okay, he's done the head coaching thing. Now he's back as the QB coach.
He's worked with Andy.
Come now, be a coordinator. It makes me think that there'd be a little bit more consistency there because they do believe that Eric Bieniemy within the next 3 years will have a head coaching job.
Yeah, and Nagy could be one that, you know, he pays his dues again and then he gets another shot. I mean, depending on how successful he is. But and I'm not saying Tim Kelly would be a bad choice. I think at this point he's not the first choice.
No.
And he's going to be plan B. And he could obviously be like, I mean, he'll know. But it's like, okay, use that as motivation.
And I think, too, you know, he brought Tim Kelly in. This was his first year with the team. It was Todd Downing's second year. It's very, very easy for us to be like, everything was Todd's fault. Everything was Todd Downing's fault, right? But we don't know, you know, the ins. I mean, here's the thing. Todd Downing was fired. He was the OC. The offense sucked. So Todd Downing was fired. The offense wasn't great 2 years before that. They had troubles in Todd Downing's first year. Second year, the offense stunk last year. You bring Tim Kelly in. But it was very easy whenever people saw something, a play call they didn't like or personnel or whatever. Always Todd's fault. Easy to just blame him. We don't know how much Tim Kelly played a role. But, I mean, obviously, you know, he was a new piece they brought in to help enhance the offense, and it did not. The offense did not get better.
And I'll give Vrabel a little credit, even though he's not going to flat out say this, but the quote you referenced in the last segment is that, you know, I think he really liked staying in-house. He liked promoting from within. Mm-hmm. He did it twice with the offensive coordinator. Promoted Arthur, which Arthur was his first, I think, hire, because basically I think he got the head coaching job and was probably told, hey, Matt LaFleur is your offensive coordinator, which is typical. I mean, that's not, you know, that's typical for a rookie head coach. And then he wanted to stay loyal and stay in-house, and he knew Downing had been an OC before, and so he went with it. And I think he's learned that that isn't always the right move, that – you know, because
you know someone.
Yeah, and I'm sure that his advisors have said, hey, anybody you can get that's coached with Andy, you know, bring him in. You know, that Andy knows. I mean, Andy's a Super Bowl-winning coach. Andy's been around. And so I think that is a really, really good move. Now, the other part of this equation is I think you need to look at some of the free agents that the Titans might target on offense, whether it be the offensive line, receiver, what have you, and think, okay, if it's Nagy, if it's Tim Kelly, you know, how are they going to work in that type of offense? Because there are some interesting names out there that, you know, the Titans could certainly go after.
No, 100%. I think, too, though, you know, that also will help you with free agents. Hey, we're bringing a Nagy or Bieniemy in, right, coming from that Kansas City Chiefs offense. If you want to go try to get a veteran receiver, which I know the free agent market for receivers isn't great this year, but if you are trying to get somebody, I think that that helps having one of those guys here with you as a part of your offense.
Oh, no doubt. And look, I can tell you the guy that I would love for them to have. Yeah, I mean, now he's got 1 year left.
Yeah, so there were some reports this weekend that came out surrounding him. I think it was from The Athletic. I need to double check on that. But basically, I mean, we all know that the time is coming. The Bengals can't pay Burrow, Chase, and T. Higgins all the money that they want. And there was a report that surfaced basically saying that what T. Higgins is asking for, they're not going to give him, essentially. Yeah. So
could
you
they
know,
trade him?
Do they trade him now? And then another team could... I mean, I think he would easily get picked up, and there would be a bidding battle for him. So are the Bengals ready? You know, okay, let's move off this year, and then if they have a couple guys in the draft that they want, I mean, they obviously need to work on that offensive line. But we were having this discussion earlier. Like, is he? I believe he is a true number one wide receiver.
No doubt.
He's had the luxury of having Ja'Marr Chase on the other side. Right. So that definitely helps when they're playing. But I mean, you look at T. Higgins and you look at his ability. I mean, he's like a 6'5", 250 pound guy who just runs through bodies out there. And even when Ja'Marr Chase was hurt earlier this year, I mean, he put up the numbers, I think.
He looked like a number one.
He looked like a number one, I agree. I think his size, I think some of the catches he's had, he hasn't had as much opportunity because Ja'Marr Chase is also on the team too, and that's Burrow's number one guy. So I think he will be the one left out of those three, and he's definitely a guy who, you know, you get him here and Treylon Burks starts to emerge a little bit more.
But you trade him now? I mean, if you're Cincinnati, you trade him now and you get a lot back for
him. You get a lot back for him.
And then the team that trades for him immediately, it'd be like AJ. I mean, that's exactly what it would be.
I actually tweeted, you know what? I tweeted it. I reposted it and like said something about Titans fans, like what would you think or whatever. And people were like, yes, of course. Okay, so yeah. So this was by Dov Kleinman. A report, Bengals wide receiver T. Higgins could be traded for a top draft pick if the team can't reach an extension with him and the money he is asking for is, in quotes, outrageous. Per The Athletic, Higgins is entering his final year of his rookie contract and went over 1,000 yards back-to-back seasons.
Yeah. He's not playing on this year. He wants a new contract.
Of course he wants a new contract because he knows this is the opportunity. Yep. The receiver market is very, very high right
now.
That was last year.
Yep.
But will the Tennessee Titans give him the money he wants?
They better. if they want to get better. I mean, I would. Absolutely. He's a Tennessee guy. I mean, he's from Tennessee. So. Coming up next, Jonathan Hutton will join us from Phoenix. We'll get his thoughts on that. We'll bring up T. Higgins with him for sure. Plus, the Super Bowl matchup. It's all next. Chase and Michelle, presented by Hair Club. 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hey, Preds fans, you want to win tickets in our Lower Bowl Section 102? Just text the keyword Superbook, all one word, to the game text line now at 615-737-1025, and you'll be entered to win. You can win with us at 1025-1063 The Game, and you can win with Superbook. Chase and Michelle, Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Kieser here with you. We'll check in with Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360, in just a few minutes. He's on Radio Row in Phoenix this week. Jared Stillman will be on Radio Row this week starting at 2 o'clock today. So we'll have a ton of coverage from there, from Arizona. It's Media Day tonight. We'll hear from everybody. Don't know if we're going to get anything earth-shattering like Matt Nagy saying, I am going to join Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I'm just waiting till this game is over. Don't worry, guys.
Yeah, and one thing that we haven't mentioned yet, and this shame on me, but the Titans haven't made it official, but Lori Locus reportedly has been hired as a defensive quality control coach for the Titans. She tweeted out this weekend that she was excited for the opportunity to join the Titans and Mike Vrabel's staff. She will become the first full-time female coach in Titans history. So very, very cool. She's been an assistant D-line coach with the Bucs the last few years. But I think that's really cool that she'll be joining Mike Vrabel's staff. So. We will learn more about that as the week goes on. We say hello now to Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360, who joins us from Arizona. Hut, what's up?
Good morning, guys. Actually, out in Arizona tomorrow, Chase.
Okay, so you're not there yet.
No, I'm not out there with the suits like you would be.
Yeah, no, I would be. You know, I'd be hobnobbing and shaking hands and, you know, getting deals done. It's what we do. So
with a drink in one hand?
Yeah, well, I mean.
Two hands. Drinking two hands.
Hutton knows. You get the work done at the bar. I mean, that's where a lot of deals go down.
That's right. Yeah, but I'm looking forward to it for sure. It's going to be fun and should be a great game this week.
I think it will be. I want to start with the Titans, though.
Yeah.
And something that we were just talking about. If you are Rand Carthon and you're coming in, and we remember when John Robinson got this job, DeMarco Murray was like his first big move, and he got everybody going like, oh, okay, interesting. And that turned out to be a pretty good move for this team. Rand Carthon, I think, is going to be looking to make a splash because you want to make this team better right away. If you're him, would you make a call to Cincinnati to see what it would take to get T. Higgins, who you know is going to need a new contract? And would you give T. Higgins the type of money that you didn't give A.J. Brown that Higgins would want?
It's a great question because I think the answer to that has to come down to Treylon Burks and how they view Treylon Burks. and that's a huge offseason question they have to answer privately. And it's not just a 100% yes or no answer right now as we sit here. It can't be, because they need to monitor his offseason and see if the guy is truly all in to be great. You know, last offseason, after he's drafted, between that point and whenever they show up to go through drills, the guy dropped out of the first group of drills. And, you know, Vrabel has made it very clear. First full offseason for him, they expect a lot out of him. We can see the potential. We see the type of player he can be. We saw him in college for sure. He can be a number one wide receiver in the NFL if he wants to be great. And if he comes in with that attitude, well, the Titans can move forward with thinking that they've got the number one option from pick 16 a year ago, instead of having to load up and pay big money at a position they refused organizationally refused to do it last year. And this year they could view that as, we have a number one option and he's on a rookie contract. We've got to add speed around him. They have to add a ton of speed on offense to meet the qualifications of what Vrabel has talked about. That doesn't mean it has to be at a number one spot. But again, I would say we need their answer on Treylon Burks. And that's going to come from observations of his work ethic this offseason. Is he staying in shape? Is he doing the things that you know, he should be doing in his first professional offseason? That's why I say they can't answer that question as we sit here on February the 6th.
So a discussion that Michelle and I had earlier about Jalen Hurts and that Eagles team, I think we can all agree that they are a tremendous team to watch. Now, can Kansas City, can Andy Reid, you know, expose the defense? I think if anybody can, it's them, because of just, you know, how smart Andy Reid is. But my question is, how do you view Jalen Hurts right now? If you take him off that team and you put him on a mediocre to bad team in the NFL, do you think you get results? And conversely, just for this argument, would you, if you took Ryan Tannehill and put him on that Eagles team, would they still be in the same position? Is it the team or the quarterback?
It's a blend of both. I think it's mainly the team around the quarterback, but the quarterback has stepped up to be an MVP caliber player. I don't see Ryan Tannehill as an MVP caliber player. He's a good player, but if not for the injury with the shoulder, Jalen Hurts is going to win MVP. And it was back and forth as it was. And Hurts had the chance. He still had the Cowboys game and a couple of other spots where he could have really shown out. Look, the thing about Jalen Hurts is everyone questioned him. He's in a prove-it year, and he's done nothing but be consistent. I mean, they've lost one game with him as the starter. And when they lost that game, his shoulder injury comes from the fact, I mean, he's got 15 rushing touchdowns. That's a new record for a quarterback. He was already running it so well. And you can see the game plan from San Francisco last week. The game plan was, we are going to keep him from beating us with his legs and force him to throw it. Well, now he's got capable receivers that can definitely come up with some big moments and some big grabs for him. And it's not just one or two. He can also throw in Goddard. He can throw out of the backfield. I mean, the guy's playing around an all-star team, and he has one of the best offensive lines, if not the best, in front of him. There are a lot of things going for Jalen Hurts. Tannehill, if you're going to put him in that spot, he'd have the same things going for him. I just don't think we see him run the same way. We don't see those same type of plays. And certainly from the way that the team has rallied around Hurts, there are other, like, the Titans would rally around Henry, right? It wouldn't be Tannehill. And I think that's the difference between the two.
We got Jonathan Hutton on with us from Outkick 360, going to be in Arizona tomorrow for the Super Bowl this week. Jonathan, specifically looking at the Tennessee Titans, I have a two-parter for you. Would you say that, you know, Rand Carthon's his number one to-do as far as the current roster is get a contract Get Jeffrey Simmons that contract he's looking for. Lock that down. And then what would you say is this team's biggest need as far as whether it's the first pick in at 11 they take or, you know, an offseason move? Which position group or specific position do you think is their biggest need?
They have so many.
I know. You got to pick one.
Spin a wheel.
It makes it a great question. So let's start with number one, yes, on Simmons because – because it's the only, Michelle, it's the only no-brainer I can point to. I think everything, every other move is on the table as far as what they could choose from. And the off-the-table move, meaning it's already said and done, is Jeffrey Simmons needs to be back. He's going to get paid. We need to work out this deal. We have the money in the cap. We can't point to that because we're going to create it with moves we're about to make with the other veterans. The cap's only going up. We potentially could have a rookie quarterback on the books coming up in the near future as our starter. Could be this year, could be in the near future. You have Henry that has no more guaranteed money. You're revamping the offensive line. Some of those contracts are going to be rookie contracts. They're going to have the dollars and cents to figure out Jeffrey Simmons' long-term deal. He's earned it. He played through the ankle when he could have gone to IR like some of the other guys could have just gone to injured reserve and come back after 4 weeks or whatever it was. Simmons didn't do that, even though he played through it for 2 months. And I think he played ball with them last year, and they didn't want to pay AJ after 3 years. There is no excuse for not paying Jeffrey Simmons after four. He's not going to be, I don't think, in the Aaron Donald $30 million range, but I think he is above DeForest Buckner, who's making 21, mm-hmm. and he's number two for the position. So I think he's in between there. I think he's 24, 25, maybe a little bit more early on. And again, Big Jeff has earned it based on the way he's handled this entire process. I would say the number one, after that, the position group, the overall person, the rookie quarterback, whatever it is, I would simply say this about what the focus needs to be in the draft. Rand Carthon must identify players who love football. The Titans got away from that. That is the number one objective of what he's got to do immediately. And he's got to do that internally, and he has to figure that out in the face-to-face meetings where there can't be any more of this, oh, Isaiah Wilson has such a jolly laugh. Can't wait for you guys to get around him. Didn't love football. He didn't care. And, you know, they pulled the wool over the eyes, so to speak. Isaiah Wilson's camp did. They can't be fooled again. They're in this position on the offensive line because they come to pay the piper, so to speak, whenever you draft Isaiah Wilson and you whiff on Dylan Raiens. That's what's happening right now up front, where we could see 4/5 of this group out the door, either due to paycheck or due to underproduction. That is priority number one on what is going to be a long list of positional needs. Some of that's going to be helped out by free agency, which can begin on March 15th, and then it sets up your draft board. But looking at the overall scope of Senior Bowl, and I mean, first-round picks were not at the Senior Bowl. Pick 42 could have been. And in thinking about that, Michelle, which is why it's a great question, they can identify so many different needs, but they have to identify the player that they want this organization to be about. And that player can be at so many different positions that is where the value is in the mid to late part of the NFL drafts. That's where the general managers and scouting staffs make their money. And that's why San Francisco is considered one of the deepest rosters, 1 through 53, 1 through 63, counting the practice squad. So that's what he has been brought in to implement here. And that's what they were so good at and figuring out in San Fran. Juwan Jennings is a great example. That dude loves ball. He's a 6-round pick. And San Francisco, of all teams, ends up with him because they found a guy that's going to fit their qualities and fit their overall structure of their locker room. And I feel like the cracks in the foundation with what happened with the Titans started by drafting some of these guys that were injury prone or just didn't work very hard because they had already achieved whatever they wanted to achieve and they were there for the paycheck.
Hutt, enjoy Arizona. Do me a favor. I mean, I have faith that you and Chad, you know, you're veterans. You've been out there several times. Watch out for Jared. I'm a little nervous for him.
Go find a fun party. Bring Jared.
Yeah, you just make sure he stays out of trouble.
We have a party every night.
Whoa, guys.
We have a party every night lined up, and I'll ask Jared. He'll have his choice of if he wants to go to Scottsdale or if he would like to go to Phoenix. It's one of his two options. I'm sure Chad has already filled him in on the options for 360, and he's more than welcome to join.
Okay, well, I'm on the way. I can't miss this out. You know,
I'm happy none of you host a morning show.
And then we get to drop in on Saturday at the Waste Management Open. So that's the real party.
Oh, so. That will be awesome. Hutt, appreciate it as always, and enjoy this week. We'll be checking in, I'm sure.
Thanks, Hutt, and enjoy.
Okay, thank you, guys. Always enjoy the show. Appreciate you. Yep.
That is Jonathan Hutt, Outkick 360, weekdays 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. And, yes, they will be on Radio Row this week in Phoenix, and we will be checking in with them. He'll also be on with Caroline Willie and D-Mace at noon on Wednesday. Coming up next, I have a rant about life that I need
it.
To bring up. As we wrap things up on the show, we'll do that next. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, reporter Nick Keyser here with you. Caroline Willie and D-Mace coming up in about 10 minutes as they will have you covered. And I appreciate Jonathan Hutton for joining us. Again, he's presented by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. Visit Blend Bar in the heart of downtown Nashville today. Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars is luxury redefined. Also, Smashville Live coming up this Wednesday at 6. It's going to be at Bridgestone Arena before Nash Vegas, which is going to be really cool. So looking forward to that, presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, and Superbook Sports. But I have a rant. So
Let's hear it, Chaser.
I went to a wedding in Daytona Beach, and I, you know, people were like, oh, how is the weather? And to be honest with you, I got like an hour of 80 degrees and sunny, and then it was...
I'll take the hour.
And then it was cloudy, and the day of the wedding it rained, which apparently that's good luck if it rains
on
your wedding
day. Yeah, I've heard it's good luck, but I almost feel like that was a myth created by... whoever had a rainy wedding day, and they're like, let's just turn this into something positive and say it's good luck. But hey, maybe it is. I hope it is for your friend's sake.
Yeah, and let me say this. Amber, my friend Amber, one of my dear, 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 dear friends, got married this weekend to Mike. And so it was absolutely fantastic. It was the perfect wedding for her. It was... a little bit of bougie, but a little bit of simple all at the same time, which is perfect. So, for those of you that have listened for a while, and D-Mace knows, Ricky, Amber, and I are the crew. I mean, that is, we ride or die together, Nashville nights going out, and she, a couple years ago, met the love of her life in Mike, who is now a part of things and part of the crew. And so they tied the knot this week, and it was fantastic. So
much love in the air.
So
Valentine's
much.
Day. I went to a wedding.
Yeah. But we drove because flights are so expensive. And I was like, you know what? I've done this drive many, many times because they have a little racetrack. It's actually a big racetrack down in Daytona. So I've been there. Been there a few times, and so we decided to drive, Rick and I. I know this is a very easy rant to make, but damn, some of you people don't know how to drive. And you get angry for no reason. Like, prime example, there's a lot of traffic, you know, in general, but in a certain city in Georgia, there's a lot of traffic, okay, in Atlanta. And I've noticed this here, and I've noticed it there, and I just noticed it on the trip that sometimes we're all last minute needing to get over into a lane. And number one, there's this lever on your steering column that if you push it up, it makes a light blink to the right, and if you pull it down, it makes a light blink to the left. It's going to make this process a whole lot easier for you when you use that.
Yeah, I suggest.
And don't yell at me when you don't use it and I don't let you over, because I don't know that you're wanting to come over until you're basically taking my hood off. So there's that.
Do I sense maybe a scenario like this earlier?
There's like seven of them that happened. But the thing that stood out to me yesterday driving back, it was last night when we were getting back here. And I'm like, I got to bring this up tomorrow. Is you want to come over and you do use your blinker, but it's very last minute.
And you can't start merging before you put the blinker on.
Right.
Ladies and gents.
And then you get mad when I don't let you over because I can't give up what I'm doing and where I'm going and where I need to be because you waited to the absolute last minute. And then you get mad at me because I don't let you over. I'm like, I'm not obligated to do it at this point. You decided to wait to the last minute.
Yeah, I try not to get mad at other people, but I love how you brought it up on the show because I'll always give somebody a thumbs up. If they do something that pisses me off while driving, people are like, oh, I'll just flip them off. No, I don't do
that. Thumbs up instead.
I'm a thumbs up because you just never know with people, like if they like chase you, whatever, you just never know. So I'll just give like a big thumbs up and smile, and then they kind of look at you and they're like, Listen, like feel bad a little bit for a second.
I have to be pushed to the limit.
I don't even honk. Do you honk?
But if I get pushed to the limit, you will get the double barrel salute like no other. I will drive with my knees and I will let you know that you are number one twice over. And it's very rare. It's very rare that I do that.
And we are not suggesting that anybody does that.
No, but I mean, I'm sure a lot of.
Let's just be more aware when we drive.
Yeah, just be courteous. Like you're not. And then last night I had this person that was like right up on the rear end of my car.
Yeah,
like, are we bump drafting? Like, what are we doing here? Like, you're not going to get there. I can't move because the person in front of me was going slow.
I feel like
I couldn't move.
The overall mantra to this is just, listen, you're going to get to where you're going. And if you try to you try too hard, it's just going to be, a mess, a huge mess. So just relax.
Yes.
And drive safe, everyone.
So it was a fun weekend. The drive wasn't that bad. There were just a few moments. But Amber, Mike, love you guys. Congratulations. And
shout out Chris and Emily, who my cousins who got married.
Chris and Emily. Shout out to them, too. Love is in the air. They'll be all love on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. That is coming up next. They'll get you ready for the Super Bowl and much more. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.